Thanks for joining us today at Springwell Church, where we want to draw spiritually thirsty people to Jesus by loving God, loving each other, and loving the world. We hope that today's message builds you up, gives you a little insight, and helps you find a brand new perspective. You can find us in Taylor, South Carolina, and online at springwell.org. That's springwell.org. Now let's jump into the message.
Luke 2, starting in verse 25, says this. It says, "At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was a righteous and devout and was eagerly awaiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him into the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms." Can you imagine taking baby Jesus in his arms? "And he praised God, saying, 'Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace. As you have promised, I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations. He is the glory of your people, Israel.' Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, 'This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall,'" the people who don't believe in him, "and many others to rise," the people that would put their faith in him. "He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul." I wonder this morning what you're wanting for Christmas. I'm not talking about the piece of jewelry or the toy under the tree or flat screen TV, although that'd be nice. Can I get a witness? But I'm wondering, what do you really, really want? If someone was to be able to reach into your soul and predict the thing that you most desire from the deepest parts of who you are, what would you say that you desire this Christmas? I think there's some people here that would say, "You know what? I need some patience. I've been waiting on God to do something, and it doesn't seem like he's moving, but I would love to just be able to wait in patience instead of having this feeling like my heart's about to bust out of my chest because it just doesn't seem to be happening." I think some of you this morning would say, "I need healing. I need healing. I got a diagnosis this year, or a friend of mine or someone I love got a diagnosis this year, and I would love to find healing." Or maybe somebody passed away and they were really dear to me, and I need some healing. Or maybe someone abandoned me. Maybe someone hurt me. And this Christmas, what I would really love is I would love a deep healing that can't be covered with a Band-Aid. Maybe some of you would say is, "I want some freedom. I have a habit, or I have an addiction, or I have a thought process that I've tried to stop. I've tried to do it. I've tried to get rid of it in my own strength and in my own way. I've tried, but what I really need is I need somebody to come, and I need someone to set me free from it." Maybe some of you would say, "I need rest." Anybody need rest today? Not just that you need more sleep, because you've tried that. You've taken a few days off of work. You've gone on the vacation, but you find yourself with a tiredness that can't be overcome with sleeping in late on a Saturday morning. For some of you, you would say, "I need some peace. Things are so chaotic around me, and I can't see how I can get any peace. My household has become a place of unrest and fighting and wrestling with each other and with comments and desires, and what I need is I need some peace. Some of you would say,
man, I could really use some of that joy y'all talk about at Christmas. Because I don't feel joy. My happiness is so fleeting. I've gone through this cycle of depression. Maybe the doctor didn't term it like that, but I've just gone through this cycle of unhappiness, and I can't seem to find the joy. And I know the joy of the Lord is supposed to be my strength, but maybe I just don't have that. Some of you would say, I need some security. I have these insecurities that I wrestle with, and I just want to feel secure. I just want to know that at the end of the day, I'm going to be okay, and that I'm still going to be loved by someone who's promised to always love me. Some of you would say, I need purpose. I want to know that my life is going to count. I don't want to just meander through this world working a 9-to-5. I just don't want to work for a living. No, I need purpose. I need something that I can know that there's something good coming from my life. Some of you would say, I need hope. I don't see how things are going to change. I don't see how they're going to get any better, but I would just love to have just a little bit of hope that they could. Some of you would say, I need wisdom. I've got a decision I've got to make. And I don't know which way to go. And what I would really love is some wisdom to know that I'm making the right decision. I need wisdom to know that I'm handling my kids correctly. I need wisdom to know that I'm in the right career. I need wisdom to know who to date or who to marry. I need some wisdom. We come to the story in Luke 2 that comes after the things that we normally talk about on Christmas Eve. The Sports Center top 10 of Luke 2 have already happened. The highlights have already happened. We've already had the angel visit Mary and Gabriel speak to her and say, listen, you're about to have a baby and it's going to be the Savior of the world. And if you remember correctly, Mary kind of like, whoa, what? And Gabriel's like, yeah, it's going to be a miracle. And then we find out that she's betrothed to Joseph. She's engaged. She has this commitment to Joseph. And she could have literally, according to the laws of the time, Joseph could literally have said, nope, we're not doing that anymore, and could have had her arrested for being pregnant. And then we learn that the angel appears to Joseph and tells him, no, don't do that. This really is the Savior of the world. And then we get to that part where the census happens and they have to go to Bethlehem and they travel on a donkey. Can you imagine traveling miles on a donkey with a pregnant wife? That could have been the end of the story. You get my drift? And then we get to the part where, of course, there's no room in the inn. Joseph forgot to go to hotels.com and book the hotel and because he was still fussing with Mary on the donkey, and there's no room for him in the inn. So literally the Savior of the world is born in a cave with animals, smelly animals present, and they wrap him in swaddling clothes and they place him in a manger. We're past all of that. We're to a place where Jesus has been born, and this guy named Simeon shows up and realizes the full impact of what Jesus brings. You see, the Jewish people had waited a long time on the hope that would come with the Messiah. Hundreds, maybe thousands of years, they waited to try to have this connection with God restored. They were God's people, they were God's chosen people, but they had messed it up, and they had done everything they could trying to obey the law, trying to reconcile this relationship with God themselves. They had tried, but they kept failing. How many of you know the feeling when you know that you need something and you try to get it, but you just keep failing? Maybe you thought, if I could just marry them, if I just found the right spouse, then I would have the security I needed, only to do that and realize you're still missing out on the security. How many of us have tried to solve this problem of joy that we need only with buying more purchases and purchasing a bigger house or purchasing more stuff, realizing that that joy is fleeting? And so we've tried and we've come to realize that all of this stuff that we really want, we can't seem to grasp on our own. It doesn't work. That's where these Israelites, these Jewish people are. And so they've been in slavery. God's given them the Ten Commandments. They've added 600 more laws to try to obey the Ten Commandments, to try to get it all right, and they just couldn't get what they were looking for. When I asked the question earlier, what do you really want for Christmas? Some of you thought, man, I would really love to have something that cannot be placed under a tree. So the Bible says that Simeon was a righteous man, a righteous and devout man. That word righteous there doesn't mean that he was perfect. It means that he was a God-fearer, that he was a God follower. And so he hadn't given up the hope that maybe a Messiah would come and give them the very thing that they could not get on their own. In fact, the passage we just read, Simeon has delivered this very personal, this very special message by the Holy Spirit. And he tells him, Simeon, the Messiah is going to be born in your lifetime. Remember, they had been waiting for this generation after generation. Simeon's parents, Simeon's grandparents, generation after generation, centuries had been waiting on this baby king to be born and to set up shop and to take back the earth that they lived on and to make them right with God. And I imagine, can't you just imagine, like when this news is first delivered to Simeon, the excitement that he experiences? So the Holy Spirit tells him, and he's probably like, yeah, let's do it. Can't you imagine? He wakes up like the first morning after this message comes, and he checks Instagram just to see if he can get if he sees that maybe the Messiah has been born, and then maybe a week goes by and nothing's happened. And so he still has hope. He still wakes up every morning with this excitement that today is going to be the day. But then months go by, maybe even years. We don't know how long Simeon waited, but can't you imagine that as he waited, maybe some of the excitement began to wane? Have you ever waited on something only to realize it was a waste of time? Like maybe it's that Amazon package. You found a lightning deal and you thought, this is it. I'm going to have my fitness back because I ordered this. And so you track it on the app. As soon as you get home every day, you check the front porch to see if the package came. You're waiting eagerly, and then finally it comes, and you take the shake weight out of the package. You use it one time, and you're like, my arms aren't any bigger. What a waste. What a waste of money. And the reason why I bring that up is because I feel like I need to tell somebody today that waiting time is not wasting time when you're waiting on God to work. Do you hear me? Waiting time is not wasted time when you're waiting on God, because oftentimes we equate waiting with wasting. We equate waiting on God with wasting time in life. And some of you come into here this morning, you're listening to me online, maybe you're watching this later, and you've been waiting on something, and it feels like time is passing you by. It feels like it's almost too late. But can I just tell you today that waiting time is not wasting time, that God is packing the box, he is printing the shipping label, and it is on its way to you. Keep waiting, keep trusting. God is bringing you the things that you so desperately desire if you'll just stay with him. Simeon continues to wait. I imagine Simeon even begins to wonder, and the Bible doesn't say this, but I'm just using my imagination. I wonder if he doesn't begin to think, did I mess it up? Have you ever thought about that? Like when something doesn't happen that you've prayed for, or something that you felt like was promised to you, and you begin to wonder, did I mess it up? Did I commit like some sort of sin that was like the thing, and God said, nope, you're not getting it now? I imagine Simeon begins to think, like, did I mess up? God, where are you? Is something wrong? But just as I just told you, Simeon realizes that God always makes it worth our wait. And so Simeon, on this special day, steps into the temple at the presentation of Jesus. Can you just think for a moment of all the days for him to step into this temple? It just so happened that Jesus' presentation was that day. This presentation would have been in obedience to the Old Testament law, where they would have brought the baby at 40 days old and made a sacrifice to God on behalf of the baby. And it just so happens that Simeon walks in and finally sees the thing he's been waiting on. Can you just imagine this man, we don't know how old he is, but we assume he's an older man. He heard this promise, and he probably had so much excitement when he heard it because he's been waiting on this. His people have been waiting on this. And then time moves on. He starts to wonder, like, is this thing even for real? Boy, waiting will make you doubt, won't it? And he begins to think, did I hear wrong? Did I do something wrong? He's probably even wrestling, thinking, I'm getting older. I'm running out of time. I don't have much time left. And then he reaches down and picks up into his arms this baby boy that's the fulfillment of everything he's ever wanted. I would imagine that in that moment, his attention goes from, will this ever happen, to, this just happened. He's holding this baby in his arms. I imagine Jesus is probably gassy. He's probably even spit up on him. That's some holy spit, y'all. But in the midst of all of that, he looks down and he thinks, this is him. This is the one we've been waiting for. And I have him in my arms. He has everything I've ever desired. And I'm literally holding him in my arms. You see, for Simeon, Jesus was the answer. He is the one that Simeon had been waiting with bated breath on, checking every day to see, is he here? Is the promise fulfilled? In fact, Simeon even says, did you catch it? He says, now I can die. Because everything he had ever wanted was wrapped up in this baby in swaddling clothes. And did you catch verse 30 and 31 there? I don't want us to miss this. Verse 30 and 31, Simeon tells God, he says, I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for what? It's your part to feedback. This is your time to give me feedback. Which you have prepared for what? All people. You see, up until this time, they thought when this Messiah comes and sets up his kingdom, that it's going to be for a select group of people. It was just going to be for the Jewish people. And so essentially what Simeon is saying as he holds this baby in his arms is, he's saying, no, this baby is not just, it's not just for my people. No, it's for all people. He's talking about Jews and Gentiles. But for today, I came with some good news. You're going to be glad you came, because today I want to remind you that no matter what your past is, no matter where you come from, no matter what family you come from, no matter how you were raised, that the gift of Jesus is for everyone. Jesus is for the rich. Jesus is for the poor. Jesus is for the broken. He's for the burdened. He's for the busted. He's for the bruised. Jesus is for the strung out, the stressed out, the left out. Jesus is for the too far out, the addicted, the anxious, the curious, the seeking. Jesus is for the black people, the white people, the Hispanic people, the Asian people, and the Indian people. I tell you today that Jesus is for you, and he is available to give you everything you've ever needed. This baby is for you. He's 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 for you. And every one of us in this room today was on his mind from the time he was in the cradle to the time he went to the cross to the time that he busted out of the grave. Jesus is for you. You, and you have this promise. Look at somebody next to you and say, he's for you too. He's for you too. He's for you too. He's for all people. He's everyone's gift, no matter who you are. So maybe you are looking for some wisdom because you have a decision to make. Maybe you need the hope that Jesus can provide. Maybe today you're searching for purpose. Not just the 9-to-5 job, but the purpose that fulfills your life. Maybe today you're looking for security, something to bank your life on. so that you don't have to deal with those insecurities any longer. Maybe today you're looking for a peace that surpasses all understanding. Maybe what you really want is you want the joy of the Lord that sustains you even when things don't go your way. Maybe what you're looking for is you're looking for rest, a soul rest that knows that you don't have to, you don't have anything to prove, you don't have anyone to impress, but you can rest because Jesus' yoke is easy and his burden is light. Maybe you need freedom. Freedom from the hurts, habits, and hang-ups that have brought you down too long. Maybe it was healing. Not physical healing necessarily, but maybe it was a deep healing from the hurt of your past. Maybe you need patience. You need to learn how to wait on God because you're about to lose your patience. What I came to tell you this morning is that everything that we desire is wrapped up in this baby that Simeon is holding. You see, we will only receive the gifts of Jesus when we receive the gift of Jesus. Everything you want is found in Jesus. He is the gift that keeps on giving. Because everything good that you will ever experience, whether you acknowledge Jesus today or not, is brought in by the grace of God in your life. But why would you leave? Why would you leave the stuff that you deeply desire sitting on the table when it's all in one package? The thing about gifts, though, is that they don't do any good unless you receive it and open it, does it? You can leave that gift that has your name on it sitting under the tree for the next 3 years. It ain't gonna do nothing. It might stink depending on what it is. The only way it's ever gonna do you any good is if you take it out from under the tree and you unwrap it and you receive everything that's in that box. So what does that look like for you today? There's a group of people and you've accepted the gift, but you haven't followed Jesus closely enough to allow him to give you everything that he desires to give you. So you have a relationship with Jesus, but you don't have his peace because you're always running in a different direction. And what we can do sometimes is we can begin to blame it on him when we're the ones running. Jesus is more about about more than just a get out of hell free card. No, Jesus desires to give you things, but he's only going to give you what you allow him to. So maybe today you need to rededicate your life to Jesus. And you need to say, you know what? I'm tired of just going through the motions, banking on the fact that I said a prayer at one point in my life. I'm going to start following him. I'm going to start praying. I'm going to start going to church. I'm going to start doing whatever I can, whatever I know to do. And y'all, we will help with that. Just let us know. We'll help you. We'll help you lean into all that Jesus has for you and develop not just some religious framework, but to develop a relationship with Jesus. We'll help you with that. Maybe that's what you need to do. And then there's another group of people listening to me right now. And you so badly want the things of Jesus, but you've never opened the gift of Jesus. With every head bowed and every eye closed, God's been knocking at the door of some of your hearts since the first moment that I began to speak. I feel that. I know that. And you've been putting this off, and you've thought it was a little weird, a little awkward. But today is your day. Today is the day to unwrap the gift of Jesus. Christmas 2023, Christmas Eve 2023 can be your birthday too. Can be your birthday into a new life with Jesus. Jesus says we must be born again. In other words, we must accept his grace, his gift of salvation so that we can walk in right relationship with God. We don't have to wait like Simeon did. We can do it right now. If you need Jesus, can I just tell you that he was born. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes. He was placed in a manger. He lived a perfect, sinless life. And then he went to a cross. He died a brutal death. Was buried in a borrowed tomb and rose 3 days later, and he said, I did this for you. If you will just surrender your life to me, I will give you the gifts that you so deeply desire. I am the gift that keeps giving. If you need to say that, if you need to tell Jesus that you're welcoming him into your life this morning, it's not some weird kooky thing that you do. It's just it's a confession. The Bible says to confess with your mouth that he is Lord and you will be saved. If you need to do that, you can just repeat these words after me. You can repeat them in your heart. You can repeat them in your head. You can repeat them out loud. But just say, Jesus, I surrender. I deeply desire the things that you want to give me. But more importantly, I deeply desire a relationship with you. I'm tired of living like this. So I ask you to come into my life. I confess you as Lord. I surrender my wants to you. I know I'm not going to be perfect, but I need to know that I'm secure in your love. Come into my life. Change me forever. God, I thank you. Thank you for your birth. Thank you that you fulfill, that you meet the deepest desires of our hearts. God, that you give us the ability to walk through this crazy, crazy life with peace and joy, patience and wisdom, at rest with who you are. Lord, I thank you for the privilege of speaking your word. And God, I've done my very best. Now, Holy Spirit, would you continue to teach us and speak to us in the voice that you know we hear. God, thank you for the honor and the privilege to stand in front of these people. May we receive everything you have for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.